Matthew chapter 2, if you would, in the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2 will highlight one of the aspects of Christmas that often gets noticed, spoken about. It's been written about in songs and preached about in sermons, shared and depicted by way of film, and acted out oftentimes when Christmas comes around. Let's look at some details from Matthew chapter 2 as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus was born in where? Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came, next two words. Everybody say wise men. From the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, capital G, amen, that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Everybody say, that's a lie. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Herod's the Grinch. He didn't steal Christmas. He tried, but he didn't succeed. Somebody say amen. They departed into their own country another way. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray that you will bless this time. Help us to make sure that Christ is not obscure this Christmas. Help him be glorified and magnified. As he deserves, as he's worthy. Take the Bible today and serve it on our hearts that we may eat and be filled and strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I can remember as a kid listening to songs about We Three Kings or watching in the Christmas play as even being assigned to act it out or watching somebody act out the three wise men. It would serve for clarification that the scripture never says that there were three of them. So we don't know if they were three wise men. The Bible just tells us that they brought gifts, and those gifts are described in three different ways. We understand that these were probably not just wise men, but actually kings. And they came. They came for a specific purpose. One of the great things about celebrating Christmas is going back to the very first Christmas. One of the things we learn in studying the scripture is we learn the meaning of something by the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. You're never going to find the word Christmas mentioned in the Bible, but you are going to find the birth of Christ. And no matter where you look, you'll find some skeptics, you'll find some people, and you'll find some critics that will say, I don't believe in celebrating Christmas because Christmas is not in the Bible, and we don't know that Jesus was born on that day, and December 25th is not the day when Jesus was born exactly, and we can't know. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't get up on December 25th and celebrate Christmas because I know that Jesus was born on December 25th. I celebrate him on December 25th because that's a day that's been set aside to celebrate Christmas. And listen to me. You can celebrate Jesus on any day because, listen, the fact that he was born means he's the reason for every season. And we do thank the Lord that he was born. And we don't claim to know the day was born. We claim to know the fact that he was born. Somebody say amen. And I'm glad he was born. Amen. And I'm glad he was born, not just born, but I'm glad he was born to die on the cross of Calvary. Without Jesus, there is no reason, not only for this season, but there's no reason to live. There's no reason to get up. Corinthians says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. Paul said in Acts 17, in him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. Listen to me. He's not only the source of our life. He's the security of our life. He's the author and the finish of our faith. He's all we need. He's all we want. He's our all in all. Listen to me. For everything he is today, for everything he's ever done to you, for everything he's ever given you, for everything he ever means to you, I'm reminded of what the gospel singer said years ago. If anyone shall ever ask you my life story, for whatever reason there might be, tell them that once I was blind and now I see, and that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Listen to me. There are a lot of things that happen to you that are good. Maybe one day they're going to pull down your driveway with a sign on the car that says Publishers Clearinghouse, and you're going to be on the news, and you're going to be the winner of $1 million, and I'm going to be your pastor. Amen. And I'm just going to wait to see the deacons that text me after that Sunday, after you win that $1 million. Tell about that great offering that came in. No, maybe that's going to happen. That's going to be a great day in your life if you win $1 million. Listen to me. It was a great day when you saw your wife give birth to that child. Mamas, when you saw that child, it was handed to you by that doctor, and to know that that miracle of life came into the world, it was a great day. Hey, let me tell you something. It was a great day when you met your spouse. Do you remember that? The first time you laid eyes. Come on, men, say amen. First time you laid eyes on her. She didn't love you, but you loved her, all right? And you thought, I'm going to marry her. And she thought, I didn't want to talk to you. But grace came through. Amen. And that day you, and how about that day you got married and you looked into the eyes of your spouse and said, till death do us part, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, regardless of our material prosperity or our health or any other circumstance, as long as we both shall live. And you said, I do. And then you crossed your fingers and she said, I do. And you thought, thank God. And you got married. What a great day it was. Let me tell you something. Greater than the day you got married, greater than the day if you win $1 million, greater than the day you meet your spouse, greater than the day you get your brand new job, greater than the day you got your license. Remember the day you got your license? My parents were out of town on my 16th birthday. I had them fill out the paperwork before they flew to the Bahamas so I could walk into DMV on my 16th birthday, the first day I was eligible, and get a license. And by the grace of God, I got that license. Hallelujah. What a great day it was. And I thought, I'll never not want to drive. Oh, how false that was. Now you look forward to your children driving so you don't have to. You look forward to them being able to drive capably so you can trust them. Amen. But the day you got your license was a great, but I'm going to tell you a greater day than that. The day that Christ was born. The day that Christ was born. And all of a sudden, people from all over the world were looking to see what had happened. And we find out that the Bible says three wise men were looking for Jesus. Notice the passage of Scripture there. It says again, we have seen the star in the east, verse number 2, and are come to worship him. What were these wise men doing on the very first Christmas? They were interested in worshiping Jesus. Somebody say amen. They weren't interested in money, and they weren't interested in fame. They weren't interested in fortune. They weren't interested in wealth. They weren't looking for what they could get. On the first day, the first Christmas that ever happened on planet Earth, guess what they were looking for? They were looking for Jesus to worship him. And by the way, that was a pretty wise thing, wasn't it? I said that was a pretty wise thing, wasn't it? Now, this Christmas, we're living in the day and age of materialism. We're living in the day and age of technology. We're living in the day and age where so much happens and so many things are going on. Thank you. So much is going on in our lives. And we look around at the world and there's so much sin and degradation. And there's so much hatred and there's so much division and there's so much political unrest. And there's so many people that are struggling. There's homelessness. There's poverty. You look over in some of these third world countries and you think about how much we complain about here. We are blessed that we live in America. Amen. I guarantee you, our missionary, Brother Johnson, would tell us over in Brazil some of the things they witness over here. What a joy it is that we're here today in a church in the United States of America where we can freely assemble and open our Bibles and without apology or threat of retribution, sing it loud. loud and shout it loud and say it proud. Jesus is the reason for the season. Thank God for that. And I tell you, we look back to the story and we look at these wise men and we look at these kings and we find that these three kings had seen the star. They came where they were to worship the Lord. And I hope this Christmas, with everything going on and every place you go and every meal you eat and every gift you open and every dollar you spend and every store that you walk into and everything that you get to do and everybody you get to see, I hope that you'll listen to the example of these wise men. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I've entitled the message this morning, Let's Be Wise This Christmas. Let's be wise this Christmas. You say, Pastor, I'm already broke. I said, let's be wise this Christmas. Pastor, I'm to the end of the year. I'm tired. Let's be wise this Christmas. Pastor, it's been a rough year. I'm way down in birth. Let's be wise this Christmas. Hey, listen to me. There are some things in your life that you can't control. There are some circumstances you didn't ask for some burdens that you didn't wish you were carrying. There are some problems that have shown up in your life in the year 2021 that you never requested. But I'll tell you what you can be in control of. You can decide this Christmas, I'm going to be wise. And you know how I'm going to be wise? I'm going to worship the Lord. Amen. This Christmas. How were they wise that very first Christmas? And how can you and I be wise this Christmas? Number one, they were wise because they came to behold the curious phenomenon. They came to behold the curious phenomenon. Look, verse number two. Where is he born? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he that is born? Listen, King of the Jews. Why did they know he was born King of the Jews? There had been a scriptural prophecy. Listen to me. Micah said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah said he was going to be born of a virgin. Chapter number 9 of Isaiah, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'll tell you why they were wise. They had followed the prophecy that God had written in his word. They didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. And isn't it amazing that 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah saw him. He knew who he was. He said that he'd be born of a virgin. The scriptural prophecy, the specific place, the Bethlehem was where he would be born. The canon showed that he was born in Bethlehem. Creation showed that he was born in a specific place. Our conversion shows that he was born. He's been born in our hearts. They came to the place. We are come to worship him. The scriptural prophecy, the specified place. And notice the shining preeminence. The Bible says, we have seen his star in the east. Go down and look at verse number 9. When they heard the king, this was Herod, and he was trying to find out where Jesus was to kill him. And by the way, just like Herod was trying to kill Jesus back then, people are trying to take Jesus out of Christmas now. Listen to me. They want to make it about shopping and make it about us and make it about holidays and make it about decorations. Listen to me. You don't have Christmas if you don't have Jesus. Notice verse number 9. They said the star, they saw it in the east and it went before them and it came and stood over where the young child was. There was a shining preeminence. You say, I want to see Jesus this Christmas. I want to behold this curious phenomenon. What do you mean phenomenon, Pastor? It was a phenomenon for a baby to be born of a virgin. Is anybody listening? Babies aren't born of virgins. Why? Because babies are the result of a mother and a father coming together. And when that angel came to Mary and said, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost, it was a phenomenon. For the first time ever, a baby had been superintended by the Holy Ghost of God, placed in her womb. That child wasn't an ordinary baby. That child wasn't the result of her and Joseph. That child was the Son of Almighty God, placed in the womb of Mary. to make sure that he had no sin nature, that he would be born pure, born to die on the cross of Calvary, left the portals of glory, Philippians chapter 2, to walk here on this planet earth that he had created. Aren't you glad that he didn't say no, that he didn't stay, that he didn't turn it down? God didn't make him go. Jesus wasn't forced to come. He was born of a virgin because he loved us, because he cared for us. What a phenomenon. Listen to me. And that shining preeminence, that star, there's never been a scientific explanation to show how that star could lead them and then stand over where the child was. I'll tell you why. Jesus is always associated with the light. And nearly 2,000 years or more later, here we are today in 2021 looking for Jesus. You say, I'm looking for Jesus this Christmas. I'll tell you where you'll find him. Follow the light. I said, follow the light. There's so much darkness, so much sin, so much foolishness going on in the world. You're not going to find Jesus in the muck and mire of sin. You're not going to find Jesus in immorality and degradation. You're not going to find Jesus in the deception of false religion. You're not going to find Jesus in racism and isolation and bigotry and hatred. You're not going to find Jesus in manipulation and unkindness and conceit. You're not going to find Jesus in the cesspool of this world. You're not going to find Jesus in the broken paradigms and the shifted absolutes that the world is giving to us. You're going to find Jesus where he's always been, where the light is. And ladies and gentlemen, we are the light of the world, and it ought to be when they see us, they see the light of Jesus shining through us. To behold the curious phenomenon, they were wise. Number two, to bow in his captivating presence. Notice the Bible says, they were coming to the house, verse number 11. They saw the young child, Mary, with Mary, his mother. And the notice the Bible said, they fell down. I tell you what's wrong with the world anymore. People don't fall down anymore. Listen to Pascal as he sang this morning. Fall on your knees. That's what worship is. To bow before, to crouch in one's presence. The Strong says it's literally to make obeisance. It is literally to fawn. It is literally to stand before one as a dog licking the palm of his master. We should be so overwhelmed by the Savior that we know to bow in his presence. Notice the Bible says, as they bowed in his presence. I want you to notice the happy attitude of these three wise men. Notice the Bible said, verse number 10, they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Do you get excited when you get around Jesus? Hey, listen to me. When you come to church, you ought to be excited. Not just because everybody's here. You ought to be excited because Jesus is here. When those songs are sung, they ought to excite you because he's at the center of them. When the preaching takes place, they ought to excite you because he's at the center of it. There was a happy attitude. There was a humble approach. God help us when we think Christmas is about us. We're angry because we didn't get something. We're upset because we didn't have enough. And we're down because we wish we had more. Listen to me. There ought to be a humble approach. We fall down in his presence. And the holy adoration, they worshiped him. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not get away from worship. Worship is what it's all about. We serve a God who is not worshiped for what he's done. He's worshiped for who he is. To bow in his captivating presence. To behold the curious phenomenon. Number three, to bring a consecrated present. To bring a consecrated present. Isn't it amazing that on the first Christmas, they didn't come empty-handed? Could I ask you a question? If they didn't come empty-handed on the first Christmas, should you come empty-handed on this one? What have you brought Jesus? I ask you, what have you bought somebody? What have you brought Jesus? Notice the scripture says, they opened their treasures. You know, see, when you give to the Lord, you ought to give something that's yours. They opened their treasures. And they said, Lord, this is such a joyous occasion. This is such a magnificent event. We want to bring you something that's ours and lay it at your feet. Notice they gave sacrificial generosity of their own possessions, but they also gave symbolic gifts. Notice the symbolic gifts that they gave. The Bible says they presented unto him gifts. And then notice the Bible says gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Notice these symbolic gifts. Gold was something for a king. king. When they gave him gold, they were saying, you are a supreme ruler. In other words, you're not just any baby. You may not be sitting in a palace. You may not be sitting on a throne. You may be sitting in a manger where the Passover lambs are kept. You may be wrapped in swaddling clothes like the lambs are wrapped in, so that their bones are not broken and they are not marred and they can be presented for the sacrifices in the temple. You may not have a chariot. You may not have servants. You may not have the pomp and circumstance. But those three kings understood that lying in that manger, that babe was not just a king. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Nita sang this morning, they brought frankincense. Frankincense was incense that was used in offering to God. You see, when they offered that incense to God, they would offer that incense to God in prayer, and they would offer it through the priest. The priest would offer that as a symbol of prayer and sacrifice to God. When they gave him gold, they recognized him as a supreme ruler. But when they gave him frankincense, they recognized his sovereign reality. He was more than just a baby. He wasn't just a king. He was the great high priest who would stand in God's presence on our behalf. Aren't you glad, beloved, that when we couldn't go into the presence of God, aren't you glad that when there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, there wasn't a man good enough, that the God man came to this earth and stood as our great high priest? We have not such a priest which cannot be acquainted with our sorrows and our griefs, but it was tempted at all points, yet without sin. Aren't you glad that this man, as Hebrews said, you see, the other priest would take a sacrifice from a lamb or a ram and put that blood on the mercy seat. But this man, according to Hebrews, did not take another lamb sacrifice. He took his own blood. He was our great high priest. In gold, they recognized he was the supreme ruler. In frankincense, they recognized he was the sovereign reality. But myrrh was a bitter substance used for embalming a body. It was what they would use when someone had died to protect that body from immediate decay. When they brought him gold, they said, you're our supreme ruler. When they brought him frankincense, they said, you're our sovereign reality. But when they brought him myrrh, they knew that that baby would grow up and one day be our suffering Redeemer. He would be old enough to walk. He would become a man. At 12, he would go in the temple and fascinate the educated. At 30, he would walk out and John the Baptist would be saved, behold the Lamb of God. At 33, he would carry his own cross, fall beneath the weight. He would have to have a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He would have nails put in his hands and in his feet. He would be suspended between earth and heaven with one thief on his right and one thief on his left. But in the middle of two thieves, he was as perfect as he ever was. They knew that that man in the middle, by the way, aren't you glad he's still in the middle? That man in the middle was not just a good man, not just a contemporary of Barabbas, not just a religious leader, not just a competitor of Muhammad, not just someone to be on a crucifix worn around someone's neck. That man was the Redeemer, the one who would pay for the sins of the whole world, not just black folk or white folk or certain folk or rich folk or poor folk, but so God, for God's so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What it must have been like for those wise men to lay eyes on that baby, to say, this is not any ordinary baby. This baby is our supreme ruler, our sovereign reality, and our suffering redeemer. Born in that manger on that very first Christmas was not just the Savior for one day or the Savior for one person, but the Savior for eternity, for the whole world. Wise. You're wise this morning. You're wise this Christmas. You're wise this afternoon. You're going to behold the curious phenomenon. You're not going to get through Christmas without looking at Jesus. You're not going to get through Christmas without bowing before his captivating presence. You're not going to get through Christmas without bringing a consecrated present. But I want you to notice verse number 12. Remember, Herod, the king, the human king sitting on the throne, said, once you find out where he is, tell me where he is so I can worship him. We know that he didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill him. And when he couldn't find Jesus, he killed all the babies to try to wipe Jesus out. Listen, folks, they've been trying to wipe Jesus out forever. This is not the first generation trying to get Jesus' name out of it. But they're not going to get Jesus' name out of it, because the Bible already tells us that when all the other names have been wiped out, there's one name at which every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Demons have to flee. Sickness has to flee. Listen to me. There's power in the name. There's healing in the name. There's peace in the name. There's restoration in the name. There's redemption in the name. There's salvation in the name. There's holiness in the name. There's something about that name. Herod says, tell me when you find. Look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Notice what it says. They departed unto their own country another way. Here's why they were wise. To behold the curious phenomenon. Here's how they were wise to bow in his captivating presence. Here's how they were wise to bring a consecrated present. But lastly, here's how they were wise to become a changed people. Notice, listen to me. They came to Jesus one way, but they left another way. Listen to me this Christmas. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you're going through. You get to Jesus this Christmas. Listen. Don't just get around the tree. Listen to me. Get to the one who was hanging on the tree. Don't just open your gift. Be thankful for God's unspeakable gift. Don't just send out a bunch of cards. Tell Jesus thank you for what he's done for you. Hey, listen to me. Listen. Make sure you get to Jesus this Christmas. Why, Pastor? Because if you're wise enough to get to Jesus this Christmas, I promise you, you won't leave the same way you came. They went back enough. The divine witness and the different way. What's going to happen this Christmas? A lot of people going to spend. A lot of people going to eat. How many of you are planning a big Christmas meal? How many of you say, I had a big Thanksgiving meal, so my Christmas meal is going to be simple? That's us. Amen. Order some Chinese food. Praise God. They are open. Hallelujah. Amen. Celebrate the birth of Christ with some Gentle Souls chicken. Amen. And maybe you're going to have some extra days off. How many of you young people are going to celebrate Christmas by being glad you got Christmas break from school? Raise your hand. Hey, listen to me. Nothing wrong with that. Amen, Derek. But I'll tell you this Christmas, my suggestion, let's be wise. Let's be wise. Don't go into debt. Don't lose your mind. Don't get an attitude. Don't get mad you didn't get what you want. Listen, kids. You're going back to school after Christmas break. So don't get time to go back to school and say, we going back to school. You already know you're going back to school. It doesn't make sense to get mad about stuff you knew was going to happen. But you know what you can do? Get glad about something that's already happened. Jesus came. And he's still lighting up every place where he is. You're looking for him? Look for the light. The very first Christmas, wise men came to worship Jesus. To behold the curious phenomenon, to bow in his captivating presence, to bring a consecrated present, and to become a changed people. If you're here today and you've never met the Christ of Christmas amidst all that you're doing this year, here's my admonition to you as pastor. Be wise this Christmas. Because like the very first one, this one is no different. It's all about Jesus. Our Father, we thank you and praise you. Thank you for Christmas. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say,